I really don't see what you find so amusing, John. You couldn't possibly have walked up the stairs on your own.
John collapsed to the sofa, laughing so hard it made his bruised ribs ache. Sherlock, you carried me! You carried me over the threshold! He swung his leg encased in a walking cast from knee to toe onto the sofa with a sigh of relief, and lay back against the cushions. Sherlock scowled and tossed him the bag containing their medication.
I take it there's some cultural significance to that particular architectural feature.
Oh, I see. This is one of those things you've deleted.
Apparently. I hope I haven't created an international incident.
I doubt it. Don't be surprised if Mrs. Hudson asks you some odd questions, though.
What the devil does Mrs. Hudson have to do with it?
Sherlock shrugged off his coat.
Do you need anything? I'm off to take a proper shower. The smell of St. Bart's is worse than the Fleet.
I'm fine. You should have let them bandage...
If I'd let them bandage, I couldn't take a shower.
Sherlock eyed him sourly.
You can bandage them later, if you like.
John was surprised by the concession. Thank you.
John.
I won't stand near the windows, I won't open the door to anyone, I won't answer the phone, John intoned, as if he were a schoolboy reciting a lesson. He was rewarded with a little twitch at the corner of Sherlock's mouth.
See that you don't.
Sherlock disappeared into the bathroom. John waited until he heard the shower running, then struggled to his feet and hobbled over to Sherlock's coat, cursing with every step. Fishing around in the pockets, he found the puzzle, then limped over to his desk. Sitting down, he pulled his surgical kit from the bottom drawer and unzipped it. He'd had 2 days in hospital to think about this damned thing, and he was going to have it open or die trying. Now, you little bugger, John murmured. We'll see what's wrong with you. He turned on the desk lamp and held the puzzle up to the light, turning it slowly. There. One of the cracks between the pieces was wider than the rest. Pulling his finest scalpel from the kit, John slipped it into the crack and slid it slowly. It met resistance. Something that wasn't wood. John applied a little more pressure, and a band of razor-thin, flexible metal about a quarter of an inch wide sprang from the gap. John stared at it, speechless. He'd been right. Damn it to hell! He'd been—
Oh, bravo, Doctor.
John lunged to his feet, clutching his desk for support, and whirled to see Mycroft standing in the doorway. Christ! Do you ever knock? Mycroft clucked his tongue and shook his head.
Did you know that Sherlock told me he'd lost that in the Fleet?
Yes, John said flatly, and I was glad he did. Mycroft lifted an eyebrow.
May I have it back, please?
I'm sure when Sherlock's done with it, he'll be glad to give it back to you. But if I were you, I'd be hoping he didn't. It might wind up wedged in your esophagus or up your arse. Mycroft's eyes widened slightly.
I beg your pardon.
John eased himself back into his chair. Taking hold of the end of the metal band, he gently eased it out of the puzzle. You did this. You rigged it so it wouldn't open.
Yes, of course. If the thieves had been able to open it, they'd have discovered that we had recovered the chip.
John slid the first piece of the puzzle away. And then they'd have tossed the puzzle and gone to ground.
Obviously.
And they wouldn't have contacted their boss to ask for instructions. John pulled away the next piece. It was their boss you were after, of course.
Is there a purpose behind this little inquisition?
You arranged your brother's abduction. John pulled away another piece, congratulating himself on not crushing it in his hand.
I most certainly did not.
Mycroft's tone went abruptly sharp.
That was completely unforeseen.
Sherlock would have foreseen it. Did you tell him you'd rigged the puzzle?
No.
Did you tell him who your person of interest was? John started arranging the individual pieces of the puzzle in a straight line.
No.
Did you consider the possibility that your person of interest might have reasons to harm your brother that had nothing to do with your damned chip?
If I had thought for a moment that that was the case, I wouldn't have involved Sherlock at all.
You didn't involve him. You used him. John didn't bother to mask the venom in his tone.
That's enough.
Mycroft's voice went low and cold.
Doctor, I think it is fair to remind you that this is a matter of national sec-
Oh, yes. John barked a bitter laugh. National security! The last refuge of bastards the world over. Why didn't you tell Sherlock everything?
He didn't need to know.
It was too much. John dragged himself to his feet again, knocking over his chair. Need to know your younger brother was kidnapped and tortured because you didn't tell him what he needed to know. Do you have any idea what that man went through?
Doctor.
That maniac came within a hair of chopping Sherlock's hand off. Mycroft's grip on his umbrella tightened visibly.
He didn't tell me.
When would he have had the chance? He was in hospital for 2 days. Where were you?
John, you know Mycroft doesn't do field work.
John turned to see Sherlock in his pajamas and dressing gown, toweling his hair dry.
Oh, well done. You solved it. I knew you would.
Sherlock paused by John's desk to pick up the little sliver of metal.
Very effective, Mycroft. My congratulations.
You knew? John asked in astonishment. You never said.
I didn't know, until I x-rayed it at the hospital.
Sherlock regarded him with a somber expression.
Excellent idea, John. If we'd gone to St. Bart's instead of Angelo's...
The food is terrible at St. Bart's, John deadpanned. He was rewarded by Sherlock's small smile. Mycroft's eyebrows rose.
Interesting. How did you manage it? According to my reports, you didn't leave Dr. Watson's side for 2 days.
John shot Sherlock a wondering look. Sherlock had been there when he was awake, certainly, but...
I have an accomplice.
Sherlock replied, evidently untroubled by Mycroft's omniscience.
I've come to appreciate the value of accomplices of late.
Sherlock righted John's chair.
Sit down, John. You could frighten small children.
John sank into his chair, trying to ignore the stabbing pain in his foot. Your brother wants his puzzle back, Sherlock.
Oh, does he?
Sherlock's sharp eyes swept over Mycroft from head to toe.
I don't think so.
Mycroft sighed.
Be reasonable, Sherlock. It's evidence.
You have the chip. I intend to keep this as a memento of our adventure.
Sherlock swept up the pieces of the puzzle and walked over to the mantel, where he arranged each piece as artfully as possible.
There. 26 pieces. Oh, now there's a title for your blog entry, John.
John smiled faintly. I don't think I'll be writing about this one.
I should think not,
Mycroft said sharply.
You're in a whimsical mood today, Sherlock. I trust you haven't forgotten that our espionage suspect is still at large.
John pressed his lips together tightly. Espionage suspect. To hell with abduction, assault, torture, and attempted murder. Bloody Mycroft and his bloody, twisted priorities. Sherlock gave Mycroft a frosty look.
I'm less likely to forget than most. What do your sources tell you?
Mycroft shrugged.
He hasn't left the country. In fact, there's no evidence that he's left the city. He'll more than likely be coming for his little trinket. Or for you, if you get in his way.
John closed his eyes. Christ, Sherlock. He started, as he was taken firmly by the arm and drawn from his chair. He opened his eyes to protest. I'm fi- Sherlock steered John to the sofa, lending more than a little support.
Lie down, or I'll break your other foot.
John sank onto the sofa, grimacing as he tried to lift his bad leg. Sherlock was there instantly to lift his legs up and settle John's cast on a cushion. John caught Mycroft's quizzical look and leaned back against his pillow, closing his eyes again. He found himself unable to deal with John Steed's evil twin at the moment.
A word,
Sherlock said to Mycroft, low and lethal. John heard Sherlock and Mycroft leave the room and descend the staircase, speaking in voices barely above a whisper.